کلام که دوباره
ویجه دینانات جان پورا نام باپ کا نام دینانات جان ماں کا نام سواسنی جان گاؤں مانڈوا عمر 36 سال 9 مہینہ 8 دن اے اے 16 گھنٹہ چلو ہے
Hi and welcome to You Podcast. My name is Asim Verney and today I'm joined by a very special guest today to talk about the new release of the week, Agnipath, directed by Karan Malhotra, starring Hrithik Roshan, Priyanka Chopra, remake of the 1990s Dharma movie starring Amitabh Bachchan. And with me I have Josh, who is writer for Twitch Film, and I'm sure you've come across him on Twitter. I mean, I almost think he's probably one of the most read Bollywood writers at this moment, especially because he's writing for such a well-known and big site. So welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks. I'm blushing. That's very, very kind of you.
No. I think I was trying to get a few guests on, and everyone is kind of like, "Oh, we really want to hear Josh on the show." So I think a lot of people are psyched to finally hear your voice on the show.
I know. I'm nervous about this, but I think I'll be all right.
No. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. So, Agnipath came out this Friday, and obviously, like every Bollywood release, the only thing they talk about is like, has it entered the 100 million club or the 100 crore club, and right. How is it going against Bodyguard and this and that. I don't know about you, Josh, but I find these kind of conversations very tedious about who has beaten who. I don't know.
They're quite tiring, especially considering, you know, how poorly that sometimes reflects, you know, on the quality of the film, you know, and the numbers really very rarely reflect how good the movie is.
Yeah, and I mean, even like in this case of Bodyguard, you know, like having every movie be compared to Bodyguard during a year is kind of embarrassing. Like,
I mean,
yeah, Bodyguard wasn't a great movie.
It's the same movie that Salman Khan's been making for the past 3 years, you know, and it just somehow keeps making more money. It's incredible.
It's crazy. Yeah, people just can't get enough of him.
Yeah,
he tricks me into it too, man. I'm a huge Salman Khan fan. I go to the movie, come out disappointed, and it makes like $100 billion. But I'm really happy Agnipath is making a lot of money, like at least on the first few days. I've been following a bit of the trade, and apparently there's a dip and then it's gonna go up again, who knows, but I'm kind of glad. Just to kind of give a general intro to Agnipath, like I said, it's a remake of a movie in, I think it was, the first one came out in 1990, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, you've seen the original one, right?
I watched it a couple of weeks ago just to get caught up before I saw the new one.
Yeah, so that one was produced by Karan Johar's father, Yash Johar. It was directed by Mukul Anand, which was he was an amazing director. Like visually, there weren't a lot like him. And it starred Amitabh Bachchan, Neelam Madhavi, Danny Dinzongpa as Kancha China, and Mithun Chakraborty as Krishnan Iyer M.A., which is kind of funny. And Alok Nath as Amitabh's father, Master Dinanath Chauhan.
Mm-hmm.
And this version is pretty... the cast has been updated. This time it's newcomer Karan Malhotra directing. I think he's been an AD for a few movies of Dharma. I don't know exactly which ones it is.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere on IMDb. Anybody can do that search. So,
yes.
The mythical role of Vijay Dinanath Chauhan is being taken over by Hrithik Roshan. Kancha China is Sanjay Dutt. There's a few new elements, a few new characters. So we have Rauf Lala, played by Rishi Kapoor. You have Priyanka Chopra is also playing a new character. I don't think she was in the first one. I mean, for me, it's been a few years since I watched the one, so that's been changed. But the general storyline is kind of the same. It's about this Vijay Dinanath Chauhan is raised with like very good moral values by his father, who's a master in a small island village called Mandwa, and that village gets taken over by Kancha China, and he wants to make it his kind of drug colony to kind of export drugs to Mumbai. During that scuffle, he kind of kills Hrithik's, Vijay's father in a very brutal lynching kind of way, and it's a very traumatic experience. Yeah. And pretty much the rest of the movie is Vijay trying to take revenge on Kancha China. Without spoilers, we're going to spoilers a bit later on. So, I mean, in this show, we just want to kind of give a general review of the show and compare it to the original, see what stood out, what the big differences were for us, and at the end, what maybe we preferred from the two movies. So, Josh, man, maybe you can start with your general thoughts. And I know your full review is on Twitch Films too, right?
It is, yes.
Okay. So your general thoughts on the new Agnipath?
I was very, very impressed. I actually, when I first heard about the project last year and started seeing images and saw that Karan Johar was involved, I kind of wrote it off because, you know, for the movies are fine. My wife loves Karan Johar's movies. But, you know, it didn't seem like something that was going to engage me, you know, just based on the fact that he was involved, because the stuff that he makes doesn't really translate to the stuff I write about for Twitch, because we're more of a genre site, action, horror, science fiction, that kind of crazy stuff.
Right.
But it wasn't until I saw the trailer last fall that I was just, it looks amazing. The trailer looked amazing, and I was hoping that it would be able to, you know, hold up that kind of look for the entire film. And it ended up translating really well.
Yeah, that, I mean, I think it's probably one of the best trailers I've seen in Bollywood in a while. Maybe on par with the Dabang trailer of 2 years ago, which those for me are the ones that stand out. And yeah, it really definitely raised the bar of expectations, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, same for me. I think Karan Johar's name was a bit worrying for me too. I don't think he has the sensibility, but I think he's also admitted that he would never be able to direct a movie like this. So, but even just having his name as production company attached to it did have me worry a bit. But
yeah,
my thing was, like, I'm a huge fan of Amitabh. I've been raised on his movies. I love the original Agnipath, but I always felt Agnipath was the kind of movie that you should be remaking, because it has good elements. It won a lot of awards. I mean, I think it won National Award for Amitabh when it came out, but it was never a big success. It wasn't really accepted by audiences. And I think one of the problems was kind of that Twilight Zone where Amitabh was a bit too old and people still wanted to see him in that angry young man role, and he wanted to kind of do something different, and it didn't really find a voice where in a time where Bollywood maybe wasn't as experimental as it is now. So I think it got stuck there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, when I first started, before I saw the original film, when I started researching it to start writing about it, I was looking at it and, you know, watching the trailer and sort of getting an idea of it and realizing that, you know, Amitabh is still playing, this is probably one of the last of the Angry Young Man movies he made, and he was like 50 at the time. Like, so it was kind of wearing out its welcome at that point, you know, and it was shortly after this that he took a pretty long break, if I recall.
Yeah, before that or after that, it was around that. Yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, it's nice that it will hopefully get a little push off of this. And I think it seems to be people are writing about the original Agnipath more now, obviously, because of the remake, which is nice.
Like, from the trailer, I could see that this Agnipath was really a different beast in a way. The action was heightened. The visuals were very, in a way, they were very Dharma-esque, you know? They were very clean, especially in the scenes in the village where, not in Mandwa, but in the village where, in Dongri's village, Hrithik is with Priyanka. There, it almost felt like Dharma in a village. Something is that I have never seen Dharma be in a village, but that's what
I imagine. You know what it looked like to me when I was watching the film? It reminded me of Kung Fu Hustle. that same sort of apartment block, yeah. Like where everyone's living, and it's like this big U shape.
Yeah.
Of course, there was no giant Ganesha in Kung Fu Hustle, but it was. That's what I thought of when I was watching it.
Yeah, and instead of like Kung Fu Masters, they have eunuchs.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So there's been quite a few changes made. Also, like I think first of all, the big change I would say the setup of the story is a lot more focused, I feel. In the original, I felt there was this anger that Amitabh had, which, again, is a kind of a remnant of his angry young man persona, this anger against society. And it was then directed towards Kanchachina in a kind of non-linear way. I don't really understood what Kanchachina was the focus of Amitabh's revenge in the original Agnipath. Whereas they make it so clear in the new one that there is, I mean, it's like you get why Vijay wants to kill and hurt
Kansa. He's, you know, he's lynching his father while staring at him and smiling the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
They make it pretty easy to hate Kanchachina in this movie.
Yeah, and it's also just the kind of presence that Sanjay Dutt has.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, one second. So, I mean, like, I don't know how you feel about Sanjay Dutt. Like, lately he's been kind of flaky, but it feels like he kind of came back with a force, with a vengeance this year, especially with this role. So, I don't know. How do you stand on Sanjay Dutt?
I am really neither here nor there on Sanjay Dutt. I think this film, this... the way he performed in this film really shows that it's a direction that he should probably explore a little bit more, the villain role, because he was really, really bad in this movie, like a badass. I think it really worked out well for him. And, you know, after doing... He's been taking some roles that I just would not have thought anyone would consider, like that Chatur Singh 2-star and just some really awful stuff. I mean, and he's got the Munibai stuff in the past, you know, in the last few years, but, you know... I think that this is a big step up from his recent work, I think.
Yeah. And I think also he's, like, you can see that he's, like, brought, like, a physicality to the role.
And oh, absolutely.
A presence that, we haven't seen since Khalnaik. And I liked even there were a few touches of Khalnaik in the movie. I don't know if you picked it up. I don't know how long it's been since you saw Khalnaik. But that second shot of Sanjay Dutt where he's in that gambling den and he has kind of a slightly skewed cap on. And in one of the final scenes where he's kind of battling Vijay, those like really had made me reminisce of Khalnaik, where he has that jail fight with Jackie Shroff in the jail, and they're both taking their shirts off and like punching each other.
Right.
They've taken out the character of Krishnan Iyer, so Mithun is not. I mean, there's no equivalent of Mithun in this role, in this incarnation. And they've added an extra villain to it, Rauf Lala, played by Rishi Kapoor. Which, I mean, what did you think of Rishi Kapoor's Rauf Lala?
I loved Rauf Lala. I think it was a great character, like the sort of, you know, the villain with a smile on his face the whole time. The benevolent mob boss who like takes care of this little town, and they all sort of owe their existence to him, even though they're scared of him the entire time. I thought it was great. He was one of, in the first half of the film, the pre-intermission half, he stole the show. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, and like almost to the point, no, you don't forget Kancha, but he's just like a towering presence, Rauf Lala, I think the cool thing about Rauf Lala is he's, in a way, he's like a religious family man, but on the other hand, is that he's selling 12-year-old girls.
Yeah.
how that dichotomy kind of works is like you need an actor like Rishi Kapoor to pull it off. Otherwise, it would be skewing completely towards one way or the other end, you know? Or you would have like a cartoonish villain, or you would have somebody like, you know, like Amrish Puri or something that is like solely evil. And Rishi Kapoor kind of does a fine balancing act between those.
Well, he does the balance, and you know, during the wedding sequence, you know, you can see him sort of opening up and not being quite so evil. But you can tell the whole time, the entire film, well, at least until he's not in the film anymore, you know, that he's just chewing up scenery like crazy. He's great in this movie.
Yeah. And so the third main role would be Priyanka Chopra. And I think this is where you and me will disagree, Josh. But I know you are, I wouldn't say a fan, but you like her presence in movies, right?
I typically don't mind her presence in films. I mean, it depends on the film. And, you know, this one, they kind of shoehorned her in to have a romantic track for Vijay. And, you know... There was a romance track in the first film, but it was between, you know, Mithun and Shiksha, the sister, which Amitabh hated, Vijay hated in the first film. I didn't mind her in this movie. I mean, I know I've read other reviews that talk about how they feel that she was really not required, and maybe so.
Yeah.
I can see that.
The thing is, like, I was tweeting about this a bit earlier with a few friends on Twitter, and I feel Priyanka Chopra is kind of like the Katherine Heigl of Bollywood. Like, and I think she's attained a position where she is kind of like a top heroine, I would say, like in the big leagues. But I don't think that is justified per se. I don't think she's ever really challenged herself as an actress. Maybe in Kamine, but again, Kamine is a movie that. She's been in the industry for 10 years, and it wasn't even that big of a stretch to do something like Kamine, I felt. So I don't, like, when you have actresses like Vidya Balan, you know, that are constantly pushing themselves, or even somebody like Kareena Kapoor, which, although she does have that glamour doll image, she has challenged herself in movies like Chameli or Jab We Met, where I felt Priyanka hasn't done that yet. But that's the persona of Priyanka. That's a separate discussion. Her, what's her name? Kali something something. It didn't work for me. It didn't work for me at all. And I think it's not only Priyanka's fault. I think she's not helped by a romantic track that is completely underwritten. She has a wardrobe that is way too opulent for her surrounding. It doesn't really... She's just kind of like... And I think she just lays her emotional beats a bit wrong. Like, everything she does feels false to me. Like, she's playing in another movie. She just kind of didn't work for me, but I know that I have maybe a slight bias toward her performances.
I don't know. I mean, when I was watching the film, I got the idea that, you know, her dress and her demeanor in the film was a result of being, you know, the benefactor of Vijay's largesse, because, you know, obviously they make it very obvious in the movie that he's making money hand over fist working for Ralph Lauer, but he doesn't keep any of it, and so he donates it back to the community. And my impression is that she gets the bulk of that, and that's how she ends up with the nice saris and the salon, and all the things that she ends up with in the movie are as a result of him giving her money.
That's my
impression.
I can go with that. And then I mean, for me, it maybe didn't work, but I think at the end of the day, it's such a small role. It doesn't kind of like sour my experience of the movie. But
it's a much smaller role than I had anticipated.
It is. And I'm happy she has a hit on her hand, because I'm sure it's been a while for her. So was there the romantic rain song in your screening of the movie?
There was not.
No. So it seems to have been cut out when it was part of a lot of the promotions and stuff like that. And I think that's. Because I think it really, all of Agnipath is very, the editing is very fast-paced in a way. And it's kind of...
It feels like they cut down her role quite a bit in the editing.
So I think underwritten romantic track, a bit of weird emotional beat she puts, and then cutting off some of the romantic tracks makes her, what happens to her later on in the movie just kind of come out of nowhere. And it just, like, her arc is very skewed over all over the movie. So,
that's true.
And then and then obviously your bias of if you like Priyanka or you don't like Priyanka, is that 10-15 minutes of her in the movie enough or not? I think that kind of plays into both things, where the other female performance is Katrina Kaif in the Chikni Chameli song, which I for me, really worked on the big screen. I wasn't a fan of the song when I saw it, and they were using it as the main marketing thing for the movie.
Right.
Because you had the trailer and you had the song, and that was pretty much it. And I really appreciate it. I need to say, Dharma Productions, thank you for not bombarding us with marketing material about a movie that was clearly very good.
Right.
Which is a nice break, I would say.
Yeah.
When you compare with what we've had in the last few year, at least Ravan, speaking of Ravan or Dawn 2 or something like that. No, Dawn 2 was a lot more subdued, but Ravan was just, it just killed me, man.
Well, My Name is Khan was kind of the same way. That was, exactly. I remember getting bombarded with marketing for that too.
Yeah. So, good to keep it low key, but yeah. So Chikni Chameli was that one song, and it really worked for me in kind of the setting. Watching it on big screen, and I've had this more and more with Katrina's songs that, like even Sheela Ki Jawani, it was pretty great on screen, and that was the visuals, the choreography, and the song were great. Whereas with Chikni Chameli, I feel the song isn't great, the choreography isn't awesome. But on the big screen, it's just the presence of Katrina kind of adds something more to it that you can't really catch on the small screen, I think.
Yeah, and there was, when the trailer first came out, and then that first promo for Chikni Chameli came out, I remember watching them both and thinking, I don't see how this song fits in this movie.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me, and I'm not a big Katrina Kay fan, and I was just sort of, I was looking forward to Agnipath in spite of her, and not because of her,
yeah.
Which I think was the idea. But, you know, when they put it in the film, it really, really works. It's in a place where it belongs. I mean, if you, the parallel scene in the original film is, I don't know if it's iconic, but it's memorable. I mean, they have the same sort of item song around the pool.
Yeah.
In the first film. This makes, it sort of mirrors the way, well, I shouldn't say mirrors. It shows how different this film and the original film are, because the original film was about, Vijay going back to Mandvan. He's got this, now there's this big mansion, and they're all living in, you know, opulence on this little island. Whereas, you know, in the new film, Mandva's more like a den of thieves, and it's still sort of dirty and dark. And I think that the Chikni Chameli song shows the sort of, like, nasty surroundings that Kanchachin has surrounded himself in.
Yeah, it, and the way she dances, like, almost is like an extension of what Mandva is like. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's very gritty, it's very, like, dirty in a way, vulgar. And it's, I think she's done a very good job for, again, like, I always give outsiders more credit, you know, like, somebody who comes from not a filmy background, not from the same culture, they'll just get brownie points from me. And I think Katrina does a really good job to be a person that is probably so far removed from what she is in real life, that I felt she did a very good job in those 3-4 mm-hmm. minutes. So I think Chikni Chameli, watching it in theaters is actually a success, where maybe watching it on the big screen and using it as a marketing thing maybe wasn't what we were as successful as I thought it would be.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, the kind of movies that, or the kind of music that's played in Bollywood movies, I typically do not listen to outside. I listen to, you know, a lot more punk rock and heavy metal and stuff like that. But I always find it odd that the kind of music that played, I have probably more Bollywood music on my iPod than almost anything else. And it's because I can put it in context. Like, when I hear it, I see it. You know, and this is one where it's going to, now I can listen to that song again and not feel, you know, like I hate it.
Yeah,
exactly. Before, you know, it brings back a positive memory as opposed to a negative one.
Yeah, same here. And I haven't gotten the soundtrack of Agnipath, because I just generally felt the songs were weak. Mm-hmm. But I won't be changing the channel, at least when. But the thing is, what also really annoyed me in the trailers was that they blurred out all of the cigarettes and the beauties and the joints and all that, and that's just kind of so stupid, you know. And it just annoyed me every time I watched it. So that doesn't happen in the big screen, so I guess that didn't.
No, but we did get on screen warnings while they were lighting cigarettes during Chikni Chameli. Did you get those?
No, we didn't.
during Chikni Chameli, when Katrina Kaif is lighting the cigarettes, they put a warning at the bottom of the screen saying cigarette smoking is injurious to health.
Man, that is beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, so you got the one at the beginning of the film that you always get, and then one during the scene, which was odd.
That is ridiculous. And do we get every time he's like taking a puff from the joint and like from the chillum? Kanchachina, do we get a did you get a warning every time or just when?
Just during Chikni Chameli.
Okay, so it's only dangerous to your health when Katrina is lighting up your cigarette.
Yes,
it's
not
when
apparently
you're,
so.
When you're big, puffing big tokes of hash, then it's kind of okay.
Right.
Okay, so okay, we've done pretty much all the big performances. Now we get to the main performances. What I want to talk about is Hrithik Roshan's Vijay Dinanath Chauhan. I think it's probably one of the best performances Hrithik has ever done. I don't know. How do you think? How do you stand on that? I mean, are you a fan of Hrithik, or how do you feel about him?
I am a fan of Hrithik. I mean, I kind of go back and forth. It depends on the film.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fantastic in Jodha Akbar. I thought that was a really great performance. The last film I saw him in theatrically, though, was Guzarish, and I was not impressed in Guzarish. I know a lot of people really liked that performance, but I just thought it was really one note and just didn't really do anything for me.
On the nose, also.
Yeah, very, very on the nose. You know, the maniacal laughter every time, but he's just it just didn't do anything for me. Yeah. Now, this film, though, I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
I really, really liked him. I mentioned in my review, and I'll mention again now, that it was sort of absurd, you know, and filmy the way that Hrithik and Priyanka, when they're together on screen, they're just so much exponentially more attractive than anyone within, like, miles of them.
Yeah.
And so they don't look like they come from the same universe, but I think it really worked. And there are a lot of beefcake shots in this movie, too. Like, there's a lot of Hrithik flexing.
Yeah, yeah. Although it is Hrithik flexing, but he's not as cut up and buff like he is, like he's preparing for Krish Tree. I don't know if you've seen those postings on the interwebs, but he's gotten really bulky now.
And, is he now?
Yeah, so he is kind of in the middle between being super buff and being like we usually kind of think of him, but
right.
he does like have more of a functional build, like a guy that's, you know, maybe not spending all of his time in the gym, but is pretty badass if he needs to be, especially
right.
The final scenes, I guess.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because I think, in a way, this movie is kind of about transformation,
mm-hmm.
in a sense that it transforms the original narrative to something new. Transforms the characters or the personas of Sanjay Dutt and Rishi Kapoor to something new, into Kanchachina, a role that he hasn't played in a long time. Rishi Kapoor has never played such a despicable character.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of that, you have a sense of stasis, you know, that Manda becomes a city stuck in a time zone of 15 years ago, and Hrithik
mm-hmm.
or Vijay Dinanath Chauhan is exactly in that same status, like in Manda.
Absolutely.
The whole time has stopped still for Kancha, Mandwa, and Vijay. And it's funny that Hrithik really plays that in that sense, that he, on the one side, he's like still that 12-year-old boy in terms
mm-hmm.
of, I would say, in terms of sexuality, in terms of emotional maturity, but on the other hand, he also has that anger, you know, that anger where he just doesn't well, we see in the early scenes that he just doesn't get when his father explaining to him that when somebody does something wrong, that you shouldn't just, you know, take revenge, and he's stuck
right.
in that still emotion, and I think Hrithik does a really good job of playing like a man-child.
Yeah, definitely.
Something almost similar to Koi Mil Gaya, in a way, where he's also playing a man-child.
Sort of, I guess.
But very different, obviously, but it's...
Yeah, he doesn't know his own strength at that point. Like, he's angry as he was because he hasn't gotten that revenge yet, and he's just building and building and building, and at the same time, he's getting bigger and stronger and not without having any real outlet because he's just so focused on his goal the whole time. That you can see, the guy's got intense eyes. It's hard not to look into those eyes and be a little bit intimidated.
Yeah, especially when they're like supported by massive shoulders and biceps.
Yeah, okay.
Amitabh's role in the original was such a powerhouse decision that he made, you know, like he was he changed his voice. I mean, like Amitabh has a mythical voice, you know, it just booms out, and he completely changed it. And, okay, it's appreciated now more than it was at that time, but he had, like, the coal-filled eyes, he had the total white suit, and, yeah, Hrithik makes very different choices as an actor in this movie. I don't know if it was Hrithik himself or Karan Malhotra. I would suggest it was probably Karan Malhotra's choices more than Hrithik's, but I really did appreciate it.
Yeah, I think he played the role very, I wouldn't say very subtle, but he played the role with without going overboard, which I think would have been very easy to do in a film like this. You know, it would have been very easy to get extra filmy and like just go nuts on it, but I think that he did a very good job. You know, there are filmy characters in the film, you know, in the movie, that for sure. I mean, Conchichina's about as filmy as they come.
Yeah.
But I think that Hrithik's role was played very well, and I'm sure a lot of it had to do with Karan Malhotra, who I'm very impressed with now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to whatever Karan Malhotra does next. I mean, I think he has an... I think there was some tussles they had with the cinematographer. I think it's Ravi Chandran, who's done an amazing job in this. I mean...
Oh, absolutely. And he's done some really good work, too. I mean, he's got a pretty good background.
Yeah, definitely. He's a big name in Bollywood. And I think there were some issues between Karan Malhotra and Ravi Chandran. I haven't followed all of it. But the movie looks amazing. Every shot of Mandwa, of Kanchachina, the kind of threat he brings, I think a lot of that is how you shoot the movie.
Definitely.
Especially those, like, the final climactic scenes, or even though that lynching scene, which I just, like, in my mind, I keep getting back, coming back to again and again. It just shot so viscerally. I mean, even the original was really well done. And, like, in the original, that scene where Mithun goes into the village to save Neelam. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's this mud fight happening. And that was like one of those typical Mukul Anand grandeur shots where you just have a lot of crowd and a lot of fighting going on. And I think they really translate this really well. And Ravi Chandran does an awesome job. Like, if you take that away from Karan Malhotra, so the visual aspects is probably Ravi Chandran. And I felt a few issues. The only issues I had with this was maybe they cut off a bit too much in the editing process of it. I think they made it very, very sleek, but I think a few of the emotional beats from the movie kind of got lost because of it. Like, for example, like the love story we've already spoken about between Priyanka and Hrithik, that kind of got lost in the... I think it's on the editing floor somewhere. But also the fact that in the first half of the movie, after Kancha's awesome introduction, we pretty much don't get to see him until the interval period again. And you know this classic thing of show us, don't tell us about movie making,
right?
And I think they break a lot of these rules in Agnipath, where Kancha is this big menace, and he's apparently in 15 years he's like taken over the drug trade or something like that, but he still can't get into Mumbai. He still hasn't figured out who Vijay actually is. I mean, there's a lot of these like gaps in the narrative I felt that maybe should have been padded up a bit more. Like, even also Vijay Dinanath Chauhan's character, like, he is the good-hearted Robin Hood kind of character, but he is like selling girls with he's working with a guy that's selling girls, is like dealing in drug trafficking. I mean, these kind of things, I think maybe they should have added a bit more, like, a bit more of struggle of Vijay, what he was doing. He was so focused, and the film was so focused, that it kind of lost a bit, I felt.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the rare cases that you might hear me asking for someone to make a Bollywood film a little bit longer. you know, because this was not a short movie. This was, I think it was right around 3 hours.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And, but you're right, you know, there are a couple of things that rings sort of strangely. The fact that Conchichina's taken over Mandwa, he's, you know, got this big cocaine business, but it doesn't really say where he's selling his product.
Yeah.
You know, that he can't get into Mumbai, but he still managed to put together this whole, like, army on this little island. Kind of doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, also the fact that he doesn't connect the fact that VJ Chauhan is the same guy as VJ Dinanath Chauhan.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, what the hell was that about? Like, oh, that, VJ Dinanath Chauhan. Now right. I get it.
Not the other one. Which I thought was kind of odd. But, you know, I've seen stranger things go on in Bollywood films. So you got to kind of take everything with a grain of salt. You know, but I did like the fact that it was sort of a throwback masala film. It was more like, you know, Mandwa was kind of the sort of fiefdom that you used to see in films like Karan Arjun, anything with Amrish Puri, you know, that, or you know, Korra, where there's somebody ruling over these people, and they don't really have any sort of chance. You know, Karan Arjun's one of my favorite movies, you know, and that sort of, that's the kind of vibe I got from Mandwa.
Well, and that is also one of my favorite movies. I love Karan Arjun. I could just keep watching that one again and again.
That's great. It's so good.
And it's also a pretty long movie, actually, Karan Arjun, when you think about it. Yeah, yeah. And another emotional track that I felt got lost with the focus of it is Vijay's mother. Which
she disappears also for a long time.
She does, and she, like, I didn't get why she doesn't get, like she's... Like, her daughter is going to get sold, but in front of everybody, like, by perverted Arabs and some bald dude that looks like Firoz Khan in Welcome. And she's still like, don't kill him. Like, it felt completely, like, where is this woman, what is her thought process? Like, what is she trying to do? Like, why did she kick out Vijay? And I think that maybe was done a bit better in the original, although it was completely ripped off of Scarface. It did kind of ring less false, I felt, than it did here.
Yeah. I think, you know, her martyr role, you know, her not wanting to get in, you know, not wanting to be as bad as the bad guys, you know, you're only as good as you know, how you perform under pressure, I think. It did feel kind of weird, and especially considering, not to give too much away, but toward the end of the film, like, she completely changes her tune.
Yeah.
Which was like, really? You're not the, you were just telling him not to save your daughter from being sold off for, you know, sexual slavery.
Yeah.
But now you're okay with him going on this revenge rampage.
Yeah, exactly. And what changed? Like, he's exactly the same guy. He's like, he's been exactly the same boy since he's been 12. So,
right.
Like, coming back to Mandwa, maybe, I don't know what changed her, like, I don't know what happened, I don't know, like, was Kancha just keeping them for, like, a secret, like, oh, I have your sister and mother, but I haven't done anything to them, like...
Right, we just put them in a closet.
Yeah, we just put them in a dirty closet and put some, like, grit on their face, and that's it. Like, Kancha wouldn't do that. Like, Kancha is, like, pretty evil dude, man.
Yeah, he'd have, like, there'd be, like, fingers or something on the ground or something.
Yes.
Something awful would have happened.
Yeah, like, even that torture scene where he's just smashing Vijay from one wall to the other.
That was great. I love that.
That was awesome. But, yeah, he, like, Sanjay Dutt, he's, like, just, he could, like, snap people's necks like twigs in this movie. It's,
yes.
Yeah, just keep coming back to his Kancha. It's pretty amazing. But, yeah, I felt that's a few editing mistakes maybe that he's made in this movie. Who did the editing of this? Akiv Ali. Yeah, I've not heard of this name. But I think at the end of the day, it's Karan Malhotra's...
yeah, it's his show.
It's his show. He should have made those calls. And I understand why they try to do it, but I just felt it was lacking a few beats because of that. But I'm definitely looking forward to Karan Malhotra's next... directorial venture, whatever it will be. Yeah, he's been an AD on Jodha Akbar, My Name Is Khan, Janiman, which a movie I love, Lakshya. So yeah, he's been working quite a bit with Hrithik, it seems, which I do see a lot. I think they probably work closely together to kind of create the character of Vijay and kind of create the narrative of right. this movie. I think there was probably a good bond between director and actor. And I think that's something I think that's something Hrithik also needs. He needs a director that kind of helps him, and I think that's also something that Sanjay Dutt needs. So I think that's where Karan Malhotra really made his mark here.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's one thing I've heard from Hrithik in interviews also, is that he's only as good as whoever's pushing him.
Yeah.
You know, and which can be very good. You know, he was very good with Ashutosh and Jodha Akbar. And for some reason, I mean, he you know, I shouldn't say for some reason, Sanjay Leela Bhansali, his films are just weepies.
I mean, yeah.
He and Karan Johar have the weepy, you know, market cornered.
Yeah.
And so when he turned into that sort of, that character in Guzarish, I wasn't really terribly surprised, I shouldn't say.
Yeah.
But I think that he certainly could have had a better performance in him had he chosen.
Yeah.
Or had he had a different director.
Yeah, I think the problem, I mean, one of the problems I had with Guzarish, although I liked elements of it, it's, those movies, they've all become about liking Sanjay Leela Bhansali. You know, like, please like me kind of movies. And I just feel it's so desperate, you know. They go nowhere. It's just about, can't you see I'm an artist, kind of, you know. That's what the whole movie is screaming to me. Yeah, I just don't have much respect for that kind of movie making, I feel. Yeah. So back to Agnipath, what were kind of the scenes that really stood out for you? We've spoken about the performances. I think we need to mention also Master Dinanath Chauhan in this, right? Although it was a very small role, and it was the actor, I'm trying to find his name, but I can't seem to. Whoever that actor was, I think for a short role, he had an amazing presence. And
absolutely. And you know, it's one of those things that I really like. That is, again, sort of a throwback to the old school Masala films, where he's sort of the guy in the white hat. Like, he is the moral compass of the film, and even though he gets knocked off pretty quickly, which is not really a spoiler. He really holds up, and you can see where, for all of her weeping, you can see where Vijay's mother gets her sort of ideas about what's right and wrong from, where their brothers come from.
Yeah, and I actually think he did a better job than Aloknath's original. And also the way his, what happens, or how Kancha puts into how he kind of puts everything into place for his downfall. I think that scene was amazing and horrifying.
It was
a lot more than what happened in the first one, I think, which was a bit, you know, it's kind of like taking everything, it was taking things a bit too far, you know. And he was kind of trying to prove a point, which was pointless. But this here, his performance was great, his presence was great, and I even loved the few scenes with the child actor and him together, you know, when they're reciting that poem that was written by Amitabh's father. It feels true. I could, like, I mean, people that are fathers or have a strong father figure, I think they could really connect with that character, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing that was sort of strange, well, I wouldn't say sort of strange, it was very strange to me, although, you know, given the circumstances, I guess it worked for the film, was when Kanchachina does set up Master Chauhan.
Yeah.
And they go in, you know, and he gets framed for this horrible, horrible act. The entire crowd is just like, yeah, screw that guy.
Yeah.
Like, they just turn on him with nothing, even though everybody knows Master Chauhan, and they all love him, and they bow down to him more than they bow down to, you know, the elder Chena, you know. But all of a sudden, like, well, I guess he can be a bad guy, and they just turn on him like that. It's I thought that was kind of odd.
Well, it's funny, because I actually appreciated that, because I felt in the last few years, we've been getting a lot of, you know, peepli lives, a lot of dhobi ghats, where, oh, these poor villagers, they're so nice and friendly, and these evil people from the city are here to corrupt us, you know? And it just felt that for once it was just these guys from villages can also be roused into doing things that aren't great, and these things happen. And I think a lot of these with our, in a sense, you know, we have this, we city folk in a way have this idyllic idea of everything in the villages, everybody's so nice and pure, and I think they can be corrupted. And I think that was something that was very interesting to see again, and I actually liked that. It almost felt like there were, that scene and the final scene almost reminded me of a Passion of the Rithik or something like that, you know? Like,
that's a good comparison.
Yeah, it was very brutal, and quite a few scenes, and it just never I could kind of follow what was happening, and I felt everybody's anger, even the villagers' anger at that moment. You just kind of lose senses because it's such a horrific act of what happened.
Was that
Samuel L. Jackson movie, A Time to Kill?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the one? I hope they burn in hell. So what other scenes were there that stood out for you? We've spoken about the lynching. We've spoken about Concha China a few times. Were there any scenes that especially stood out for you that you thought, wow, that was something really awesome in Agnipath?
Well, I hate to say it, but I really enjoyed the entire sequence that was built around Chikmichumeli. I thought that the whole scene, not just the song itself, was really well done, and it conveyed a lot about the kind of place that Concha China was running.
Yeah,
I think it was very effective. The Ganesh Chaturthi scene, what's his name? I can't remember his name now. Surya is going to assassinate Ompuri's Gaitonde.
Yeah.
I thought that was very, very well done. You know, it's perfect because, you know, not only all the colors and everything, those festivals are always fantastic. They always look great on film, and I think it was a very good choice for them to use specifically Ganesh Chaturthi for this one, because there's so much red and the blood and everything, and it all just sort of blends in together. I think it worked really, really well.
And like you said, I mean, these festivals look great on film, but especially in Agnipath, they looked great in film. And I think this is where the dharma aesthetic really comes out to play, and mm-hmm. it really looks good.
A lot of it, I think, comes down to the cinematography in those sequences.
Yeah.
I think that they're shot beautifully.
Yeah, definitely.
And the production design is fantastic. It all works.
Yeah, it all pops. And awesome callback to the original. You know, there you had finally the big Vijay Dinanath Chauhan, Gaon Mandva, Baap Ka Naam, Dinanath Chauhan scene. And he's just slamming that knife in his throat and in his stomach and then reciting those lines. I just loved it, man. If I was like in a jam-packed theater, I would be whistling and throwing coins on the screen at that scene. That was amazing. Yeah.
That was great.
Any other?
Let's see. I think that the wedding sequence with Rauf Lala, the intercutting, I can't remember the name of the song now.
The assassination of his son, Mazar, right?
Of his son, yeah. The intercutting that with the wedding, I think, was also really well done. And I thought that was beautiful. That sequence was great.
Yeah. For me, another one that really stood out was the eunuch attack. Pretty much the setup of Rauf Lala selling Shiksha.
Yes, the hijras were great.
Oh,
I love that
God.
Scene
that,
too.
That was,
and you know, we get a peek at them earlier in the film.
Yeah,
with Vijay, but they don't go nuts like they do in that slave sale scene. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was funny because he was this is probably something that got lost in the editing process, but they never really established his like relationship with that eunuch army that he has, like,
right.
Where is like I was thinking when he enters Dogri, what's that village called, I don't even know what it's called, where he has his mom is like gonna give birth to the child. I think if that scene had established something with, you know, like if one of the eunuchs had maybe delivered the baby, you know what
right.
I mean? I think then that would have maybe had some sort of connection, but I just felt it kind of got lost somewhere. Like, why are these guys with him? And yeah, it was visually, it was awesome, and
it was
seeing the fight between Hrithik and Rishi Kapoor was amazing. And like, mm-hmm. Rishi has always been kind of like a pudgy kind of chocolate hero kind of guy, but he stood up to Hrithik in this movie, you know?
I thought that was fantastic. Watching Rishi Kapoor, you know, hold his own for a little bit there was really great.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I've actually seen him fight in a film.
I have seen him fight, but like not like this way, where you say he can stand up to somebody like Vijay, you know, and he...
Right, and certainly not in several years, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think one of the things that added a bit of menace more to Rauf Lala's character, and I think maybe this gets lost in translation, but all the dialogues he was speaking was not in Hindi, but in Urdu. And the way he keeps taunting Vijay, you know that scene where he almost lets him go because he has the father complex? Ritik is pretty much looking for a father all the time, or he wants to kill somebody. If it's not Rishi Kapoor, then it's Om Puri. But he does kind of, still, even if he's, Rauf Lala almost sold his sister to like Arabs, he still kind of lets him go. But he just keeps taunting him in these really precise Urdu words that, oh my god, any brother's blood would just go boiling, you know? And I don't get why the mother was then like, don't do it, stop it, and stuff like that, when clearly he has to die. Clearly he has to die.
Yeah, there's no way out of that one.
Yeah. And then, for me, the other... again, about the eunuch fight, I think it had the grandeur of the Mukul Anand... scene where Mithun saves Neelam, where they're fighting in the mud, and he just gets into there, and he gets in there on his own, beats up everybody, and gets Neelam out. Okay, that was pretty 90s aesthetic, and I mean, it sure wouldn't work at all like this in this era, but it was just amazing. Like, when you see Ritik running towards everybody, and I don't know if he had suddenly a trampoline that he could just jump and shoot somebody, but...
And how? Who is that accurate when jumping and shooting at the same time? That was crazy. And he shot him right in the side of the head. Like, he didn't graze him. He was a kill shot. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was like, couldn't we just get a shot of one eunuch carrying a trampoline, like, on the back? Like, right? Jump on this, you'll get him. But yeah, amazing.
That shot's in the trailer, too. And I remember thinking, he's not going to hit anybody with that.
Yeah. But he does. It's amazing.
Especially when he's like, he's holding on to his sister. They're like a foot apart.
Yeah.
Like, I would take that shot.
It's crazy. But yeah, anyway, it was an amazing scene. Yeah, Chikni Chameli, we've talked about. I think everything with Kancha China is amazing, and especially the final few climactic scenes.
Yeah.
Which, maybe we could just go into spoiler section now, because, I mean, we've been speaking about the movie for 45 minutes. So, the spoiler scene, and this is really, like, Passion of Ritik now, huh?
It is, definitely. And that's one of those things, that's the only part of the film where it was, for me, it was kind of like, all right, enough, I get it. Because, you know, since we are doing spoilers now... Ritik gets stabbed in the gut like seven times.
Yeah.
And he still manages to take down Kancha, who is massive. And not only does he knock him out, he's able to pull him up and hang him from that tree, you know, while he's bleeding out. It was insane.
And like,
you know, all the adrenaline pumping through him, I guess, is supposed to be the
I guess, but seriously, how strong is that tree, man?
Like, no kidding. Especially since it looked like that tree had been burned at some point, because it had no more leaves on it. It was dead.
Yeah. But yeah, but visually and kind of emotionally, it looks great. And when he's kind of dragging him over the floor, even we saw a few shots of that in the trailer. But you were never clear if he was dragging Master Dinanath Chauhan or Vijay. But I think obviously it's a callback to the same scene, kind of. But yeah, it looked amazing. But yeah, it does kind of lack that thing where he's been stabbed 50 times, and when his shirt opens up, it's like there's no scars whatsoever.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder, like, why did he die then if he can still take the fight? Like, what's happening there? But yeah,
because the knife didn't bend when they tried to put it in him, you know? One of those kind of like iron abs things.
Yeah, or he kind of just like holds the knife with one hand and his hand is bleeding and he pushes it back, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but it was kind of like it had emotions going at that moment, and it really did work for me. And although I almost do miss, like, in the original, like, Amitabh has to walk through a wall of fire to kind of
kill. That was pretty cool. And that works for the title. I mean, that's part of the whole title thing.
Yeah, and this here, I didn't see that. For a movie about Paths of Fire, there's actually not that much fire in the movie.
No. Although they did crank up the explosions on the new one.
They did. A lot of explosions, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I just... although it was really good, I was kind of missing that scene, because maybe that's one of those iconic Amitabh performances where he's like, nobody can die in the arms of his mother like Amitabh can, you know? So, and nobody can wear a white suit like Amitabh can while he's getting
wrapped and stuff. That's like. And those shades, the gold rimmed shades, those are fantastic.
And overall, it just kind of it really worked for me as a movie. But were there any things like, except the stuff we've spoken about, any other scenes that rang false to you or you didn't like as much?
You know, there wasn't much. You know, looking back on it, I think that some of the earlier scenes with Priyanka Chopra are, and I know that you probably agree with me here,
yes.
Are a bit
hackneyed.
You know, she looks, she's all excited and smiley, and it's the only comedy really in the entire film.
Yeah.
Is one really brief sequence when she's opening her salon, and she talks about, you know, these women that she's got from China, but they're actually Nepali.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like one little laugh track, and that's it. And so that kind of felt weird in context.
Yeah, it was a weird joke. I don't know where it came from, but I don't know why it was necessary to suddenly drag poor little Nepalis in there, like, make fun of them. What do they ever do? That was definitely one scene that was kind of sticking out. And I think for me also, two things that didn't work for me was kind of Om Puri, who's kind of becoming like India's Danny Glover, you know? He's too old for this shit, and he's about to retire in every movie.
it's the exact same thing that he said at the beginning of Dawn 2. when he's going to retire at the beginning of Dawn 2, I gotta get this one last guy.
Om Puri worked.
And I like Om Puri a lot.
I like him a lot too. I like him a lot. Especially I like him in Bollywood movies more than I watch. Like, I see him a bit in East is East and West is West. I hate him in those movies. But I really like him as a performance. So, and also like the whole track of him being like a Hrithik surrogate dad. Like, it was funny because at the start he asked, Om Puri, how is my mother doing? And I, for a second, I thought, did he just get married to Hrithik's mother or something like that?
Yeah, that was kind of out there.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And the other thing that really didn't work for me was the performance by, again, I don't know the actors' names because IMDb hasn't been updated really well, but the mentally challenged son of Rauf Lala.
Right.
And again, it's... I think it's... Is it not Devan Bhojani? I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I think it's him, yeah.
Could be, I don't know.
IMDb does...
Yeah, I thought that character seemed unnecessary.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, mentally challenged people is, like, it's a challenge for Bollywood. They have never been able to portray it in a respectable manner. And, yeah...
That is putting it lightly.
Yeah. I'm trying to be sensitive. they do a shit job with it, to be honest. And it's usually very offensive, actually.
Well, there was a Tamil movie last year.
You watch more Tamil movies than I do, so I don't... was that the Vikram one?
I haven't actually seen the film yet, but I saw the trailer, and it was like the I Am Sam, like Tamil I Am Sam.
Yeah.
It looked really awful. And then there was My Name is Khan, which I guess was okay, but, you know...
But they were okay with then they put Mama Jenny in it, so you know they
said that was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen on a screen in my life. It was just crazy. The thing was, when we went and saw that in the theater, whenever I go to the, we have several Indian theaters here, whenever I go to the Indian theater, I always post it because it always, I don't know why, it still surprises me. I'm the only non-Indian person there. But, besides my wife, when she comes with me.
Right.
But, I'm half Mexican, so I'm sort of dark. My complexion is but my features aren't right.
Right.
So they all sort of look at me like sideways. And I remember going to see My Name is Khan and, you know, going to get chat at the restaurant because they have chat at the theater.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I'm waiting there and my food always gets fixed last. And so I missed like the first 10 minutes of the second half of that movie, and all of a sudden, like, you know, Shah Rukh Khan's been kicked out of his family, and it's just like everything happens the first 10 minutes after Interval Air. But you know, that movie just, the first half I was like, okay, well I can kind of go with this, and then the second half just went nuts.
Yeah.
Not completely off the rails.
Yeah.
Completely irrelevant to what we're talking about now, but.
No, but it's funny when. Because I think it's as a Bollywood fan, you're almost apologetic then about the movie, you know? You're like, yeah, my name is Khan, this was really good, you should watch it, but there's something super racist in it, you know? Like, it's pretty hard to, like, fully endorse, and I think...
I'm a Jenny and funny hair Joel.
Okay, crazy. So nothing in Agnipath is that bad, but he, again, I don't think the performer did a great job playing Azar, I think. Yeah, Azar was the mentally challenged son that he was playing.
Yes.
And, it was bordering on, like, trying to do it comedically, trying to go Johnny Lever on it, and
I couldn't quite tell what they were going for with
So, again, I think, that wasn't great, but I think what Hrithik was doing, playing against that was pretty cool, that he was kind of, like, motherly or kind of taking care of him. Those scenes were nice, but, he wasn't great in that. That really stood... that really annoyed me. Annoyed me also was just the fact that, you know, Vijay is completely whitewashed as a character. He's been, like, doing... He's been Rauf Lala's underling for 15 years, and he's just a Robin Hood, you know. He's selling girls, and he's giving away the money to the poor to open beauty parlors. Like, whatever, dude.
That was sort of strange, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and, so, I mean, these were the kind of... The one, and the other thing that didn't work for me also was, again, I just keep getting back to this editing of the movie, is that mirror scene with Kancha China at the start. You know, apparently Kancha has a lot of issues growing up. People were calling him a ghost, and he's smashing mirrors, but it goes nowhere. That plot goes nowhere.
They don't talk about that at all. I think that probably would have been a good place to explore. That would have been, you know, something that would have been nice to see, or not nice perhaps, but interesting to see. Because he gives one speech, basically. He gives one speech about his horrible background, and then you're just supposed to believe that he's just an asshole because of that. You know, he's just a bad guy because of that scene, because of his past.
And I think what might have been interesting, but it would have the problem that it would be a flashback within a flashback, but it would be interesting to see Kancha and Master Dinanath as children, and maybe something happened there that kind of set their rivalry already then, you know? Maybe Master was the one making fun of Kancha before he became all holy man and wearing white dhotis and stuff like that. You know, something kind of like that would have been interesting, but yeah, it just kind of goes nowhere. And also, like, the whole fact with, again, like, Rauf Lala's and Sanjay's, Kancha's rivalry set up, like, in a pretty massive scene, and then it goes nowhere. Like, it's used as a tool for Vijay to use whenever the hell he wants, when making one phone call would have been the solution, and Vijay would have been caught. That kind of didn't work for me. I did like a few of the callbacks to Godfather that they put in, like when Vijay takes over Rauf Lala's chair. It had a bit of Michael Corleone taking over, you know, that kind of scene. Even the scene where he takes his shoes, which, it's a kind of a Hindi-Urdu proverb that when the son is old enough to wear his father's shoes, he's an adult, you know. So that's kind of what they were playing for. So I like those kind of touches, but... Yeah, overall, I think it was on your review, right? Apologies, because I've read quite a few reviews, and yours was probably the first one I read. But were you saying that if you don't come from a Bollywood background, this would be an ideal movie to kind of get into? Or am I?
Yes, I definitely think that. I've proudly already pushed at least one person into the theater in another city because of it, which makes me happy. But I think that it's definitely the kind of film, if you have no background and with Bollywood, that it's not alienating. Yeah. You know, my first Bollywood movie, or one of my first Bollywood movies, was actually not that long ago, but I've just been ravenous ever since. I watched Om Shanti Om, which is only, you know, 6 or 7 years old now. Yeah. But, you know, there are varying reports from different people about that film because it is basically one three-hour long in-joke.
Yeah, like, it's
and there's a lot of things that you'll miss. But at the same time, because of that, you get like all of the tropes of Bollywood in one movie. And so if you don't like that movie, you're probably you know, that's probably a decent barometer for how you'll feel about the films in general.
It's funny, for a lot of people, Om Shanti Om has been kind of their entry-level movie, and it's I just find it funny because it's such a meta movie.
It is, very. And now seeing movies since then, I've caught up on a lot of this stuff, and be like, oh, right. That's that, and that's where this song comes from, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, same thing with Mehuna, even Tismar Khan, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. They're very, like, self-referential, and I just find it always surprising that so many people tell me that Om Shanti Om was their first movie. But I think, something like Agnipath is probably because it's so focused and the emotions are so clear. I think it's something that people can connect with very easily. And I think I've noticed I have a lot of problems with my dude friends to get them to watch a Bollywood movie. Girls are kind of okay. They'll give it a chance. They like the singing, the dancing, the costumes, the love stories. So they can connect easily with it. Plus, they have Shah Rukh Khan, so I don't know what it is. He just has this charm that works on all women everywhere.
Yeah.
But Agnipath is probably a movie that I could get my dude friends to go to, like, watch this movie, man, you'll like it, you know. I'm glad about that and Agnipath. And I think one more thing was the violence in this movie also, right?
Yeah, I mean, the violence in this movie is, it's until you get to the end, like I said, where it gets sort of, you know, heroic bloodshed, you know, kind of, I'm gonna die doing this thing, you know, but up until that, it's pretty visceral. I mean, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blood in the movie. And I have heard that as a complaint against it also, is that it is just too bloody and too brutal, which, you know, it's Bollywood. People, you know, a lot of films are like that.
Yeah.
You know, the heroes get the crap kicked out of them in Bollywood movies, and they always have, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that it's shot in such... The film itself is very Bollywood. It's very masala. It's very filmy. But the way it's shot and the way it's constructed is not. Mm. Like, I make this joke with my wife, you know, about these movies that, you know, this movie or that movie is like a real movie, like, as opposed to a Bollywood film. You know, it's like something you could take someone to and they could watch, like a Chak de India is like a real movie, you know.
Something like Swadesh.
Yeah, something like that. You know, they're not terribly filmy, whereas this one is filmy, but it's not hokey. Like, it's not, you know, winking at you the whole time, which I think is fantastic. And that's one of the reasons it could succeed with a normal audience, with a non-Bollywood audience.
Yeah, I think it's, A, the focus on the emotions is so clear, and B, the stakes are set clearly, you know, so, and there's not too many distractions, so I think that is something that really works in its favor. I think the violence specifically, I usually go to the movies with my wife too, and she had an issue, for example, with last year's Force, John Abraham's movie. I don't know, did you catch that one or not?
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen pieces of it in the grocery stores when they're playing it, but I haven't watched the movie.
Right, so that gets kind of very gory violent at the end, and pointlessly, where people are hanging off of meat hooks and stuff like that. I think this is not the same kind of violence that Agnipath has. I think that violence is justified. I think from the outset, what happens to Master Dinanath's the way the lynching is shot, I think it's very clear where this movie is going to be ending, and it's going to be a bloody end of both of these characters, and I think it's kind of what we get. And I think it's also something that there is no other way around it, you know. We know where this
is going. Kanchachina's not going to jail.
Exactly. And nor is Vijay going to survive this. He pretty much died at that tree with his father.
Yeah. That's what he's living for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so just, I think, let's just wrap up with our final thoughts on Agnipath, and maybe, how does it compare to the original? I mean, which would you recommend, which point stood out for you, and,
Okay, well, I obviously really, really enjoyed the film. My wife wasn't able to go see it with me the other night, so I'm planning on taking her at some point this week, and looking forward to it, which I usually don't, but definitely want to go see this one again on the big screen. I think that definitely does it a service, seeing it in a theater. As far as how it compares to the original, I like it more than I like the first film, which is hard for me to say because it's Amitabh Bachchan and it's, you know, like we've said, it's one of his last angry young man roles, yeah. Maybe his last angry young man role.
Yeah.
And he's a badass in it. I mean, and there's a lot of good things in that movie. There are things from that movie that I miss. Like Krishnan Iyer, I miss that character. That character was a lot of fun. But that character wouldn't have fit in this film.
Yeah.
He was basically he was part of the comedy track for Agnipath and the romance track, which really had no place in this film, I don't think, in the newer one. One other thing that I think is probably more important to me as far as, you know, making this one more of a memorable film is that the original Agnipath dates. It's dated. I mean, if you watch it now, you can tell that it's a 90s film or a late 80s film. I mean, the fashion is dated. The action is somewhat dated. Whereas with this film, you really get sort of a timeless feel from it. There's no contemporary fashion. I mean, none of the women are wearing Western clothes. They're all in saris. You know, Hrithik is wearing jeans and a tank top, a wife beater the whole time. Nobody's wearing any suits. I mean, there's nothing to indicate that this is a film made in 2012, except for the, you know, quality of the production. But there are no big shoulder pads or white suits, you know, like there were in the first Agnipath. Conchichina does not wear, you know, contemporary clothes. It's just, I didn't remember there being any, you know, cars that seem like they would be newer or older. Just, it seems like it takes place out of step with time, and I think that that's one thing that's really in its favor.
Yeah, I think it's that sense of stasis that I was talking about earlier. You know,
yeah,
it's
definitely.
Like time has stopped in this Agnipath at that moment, and it's kind of no, definitely. I think I agree with you. I love Amitabh, but I have to admit that they did it. They made a really good remake. They did a better job than the first movie was, and it has aged, and a lot of things were things that, like, the whole element of, I mean, a lot of the original Agnipath was lifted from Scarface.
Right.
This is not the case, and they've taken every reference to Scarface out of this movie, which I really appreciate. There was this whole track with making Neelam, who's a modern woman, into a home, like a demure Indian woman in a sari, which I hated.
A homely girl, yeah.
This is one of the tracks I hate in Bollywood movies, and that was present in Agnipath, which really made me, like, annoyed with the original one. It did have a mythical performance by Danny and by Amitabh.
Yeah.
But Danny was hampered because the story wasn't focused on why Kancha's revenge is based on Vijay's revenge is based on Kancha. So there you kind of lose something with something that happened to Priyanka, where it's not underlined. Her character isn't underlined with enough padding. But you had Amitabh and Danny. Amitabh was great, but in this movie you have powerhouse performances by Kancha, by Sanjay Dutt playing a Kancha China monster that I think we'll be talking about for a long time. I think
yes.
This is up there with Mogambo and with Gabbar Singh. I mean, this is the kind of character he's playing.
This is an iconic villain, I think, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, he went through a lot of pains. You can see he got buffed up again. He shaved off his hair until you can see his hair graft scar in the back. He didn't floss, clearly. He didn't put his toenail fungus medicine on. He went to a lot of lengths for this role. And Rauf Lala's Rishi is Rauf Lala is something you haven't seen Rishi play a character like that. I think for me, he's played a character that was as despicable in Damini, but he was a hero in that movie. So again, that is kind of weird. But this year's he's an amazing performer, and I'm glad he's back in this role. So I would say they managed to do what they set out to do. They improved on the original.
Absolutely.
So those are kind
absolutely.
Of
and I wish it every success. I think that this is probably going to do some good business. I mean, the audience I saw it with was strangely contained, though. I don't know if that was just me or was the audience I was with, but there wasn't a lot of whistling. I don't know. I don't get a lot of whistling usually in Hindi movies here.
Yeah, that's
sometimes.
I get a bit of dancing in ours, but it's usually the kids that are dancing. But
Singham had it.
And funnily enough, Arakshan
had it. The Tamil movies are totally different.
Arakshan
did.
Funnily enough, Arakshan, a movie I didn't enjoy that much, did have a bit of whistling in there. Bodyguard did, funnily enough.
Well, that seems like the kind of thing that would have more whistling in it.
Yeah. But what I also like about Agnipath, it's a movie I can stand behind its success in a way, you know? Like, like as a huge Salman Khan fan, I almost felt apologetic about, we did our best of review a couple of weeks ago, and there was no mention of any Salman Khan movie, you know? Although he had, the biggest year in his career, I felt almost like, I feel weird recommending his movies now to other people. Like, taking my wife to a Salman Khan movie is a chore. She doesn't want to go because of Reddy and Dabang. Not Dabang, but the other one, Bodyguard. This is a movie
they're
all the same. They all look the same. No, I love Dabang and Wanted. I mean, yeah, so... But, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, that's also something about Agnipath that I really enjoy. It's a movie I can kind of stand behind. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think
it's nice when something that's actually good succeeds, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And all power to Karan Malhotra and Hrithik Roshan also, you know? They both deserve the accolades that they are getting because... I think Hrithik, he's been out of... he had Zindagi Milegi Na Dobara, but he's had a rough time before that, you know? So I'm glad he's kind of back on top, and I hope he takes it further with Krish 3. And, he's always been, a very honest, kind of hardworking guy, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Josh, man, where can people find more of your work?
I write a lot over at twitch.net. I write about South Asian films and home video mainly, and just whatever else tickles my fancy. But I'm the main Indian writer on Indian films there.
Awesome. Oh, and you're also obviously on Twitter, right?
I'm on Twitter, yeah. Zombiener, Zombeaner on Twitter, and I tweet a lot.
Perfect. And yeah, you can always find us obviously on UPodcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. Drop us an email at upodcasting@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter on Asim Burney or at upodcasting. I'm also writing for Hey You Guys. I've been writing quite a few trailer analysis, and I'll probably be posting this up in one form or the other on that there too. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and drop us a line. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
Ha 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 ha.